1. The Beast. It is mentioned in Revelation 15:2, 16:2, 19:20, and 24, in connection with the image, in a similar manner that it is spoken of in this message. The connection does not show what beast is meant, but it is spoken of as though it had been previously explained and was well understood. It evidently is the beast with seven heads and ten horns of chapter 13, representing the papal form of the fourth kingdom. It receives its seat, power, and authority from the dragon, pagan Rome. This beast was to have power to lead the saints into captivity, and to kill them with the sword for the term of 1,260 years. Daniel 7:25-26, Revelation 13:5-10. Then he was to have his dominion taken away, and go into captivity. This was in 1798, when he received a deadly wound, which has been healed. At this point of time, John sees another beast coming up out of the earth, with two horns like a lamb. Before noticing the image of the papal beast, the two-horned beast claims our attention. Relative to this beast, there are some things of special interest and importance as follows. Number 1. The time of its rise. It certainly did not rise prior to the first beast, neither at the same time, for then there would be no propriety in calling either the first. But as it follows the first beast, it is evident that we should look for it to rise, to notice about the time that the first beast goes into captivity, at the close of the 1,260 years. It was also to cause the world to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. This proves his period of action to be since the dominion of the first beast was taken away in 1798. Number 2. It is another beast, beside the ten-horned beast. Although the dominion of the first beast was limited to the period of 1,260 years, yet he was to make war until the judgment. Daniel 7:19-22. When he, with a false prophet or two-horned beast, is to be cast alive into the lake of fire. Revelation 19:20. The two-horned beast is represented as a power existing and performing his part after the death and revival of the first beast. If asked for my opinion as to what will constitute that beast with two horns or the false prophet, I must frankly confess I do not know. I think it is a power yet to be developed or made manifest as an accomplice of the papacy in subjecting the world. It will be a power which will perform miracles and deceive the world with them. Revelation 19:20. Litch's Restitution, pages 131-133. The two-horned beast performs its wonders in the sight of the first beast. Revelation 13:13-14. This not only shows it to be distinct from the ten-horned beast, but also that both exist at the same time. Number 3. The manner of its rise. The four beasts, Daniel 7, of which the ten-horned beast, Revelation 13:1, is the fourth, all arose out of the sea. Sea or waters denoting peoples, nations, etc. Revelation 17:15. By reason of the four winds striving, winds represent strife among men. They arose by overturning the powers which preceded them by means of war. But not so with the two-horned beast. He was seen coming up out of the earth, growing to power in a peaceful manner. He does not overturn any preceding power by means of war. Number 4. The location of this beast. The seat of the first beast is in Europe, and definitely at Rome. And as it lives and makes war until the judgment, we should not look among the papal kingdoms of Europe for the location of the two-horned beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. No symbol could better represent the rise, growth, and apparent mildness of our own nation than this. Number 5. The two lamb-like horns. The mildness and youth of this power seem to be indicated by its lamb-like horns. These, we understand, represent the civil and religious powers of this nation, its republican civil power, and its Protestant ecclesiastical power. For a more full explanation of this subject, we must refer the reader to a lengthy article written by Brother J. N. Andrews, entitled Thoughts on Revelation 13 and 14, published in the Advent Review and Sabbath Herald, number 11, volume 1. From the article we take the following. The horns of the ram, Daniel 8, denoted the kingdoms of Media and Persia. The great horn between the eyes of the goat denoted the first king. The 10 horns of the fourth beast denoted the 10 kingdoms into which the fourth empire was divided. Daniel 8:23-25. Revelation 17:12. The little horn which came up after them denoted the papal church, which was afterward clothed with civil power. And it is evident that the horns of these beasts symbolize the entire power of the beasts. From these facts we learn that the horns of the preceding beast denoted civil and religious powers. Hence we regard the horns of this latter beast as symbols of civil and religious power. No civil power could ever compare with republicanism in its lamb-like character. The grand principle recognized by this form of power is thus expressed. All men are born free and equal, and endowed with certain inalienable rights, as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hence all have a right to participate in making the laws, and in designating who shall execute them. Was there ever a development of civil power so lamb-like before? And what in religious matters can be compared with Protestantism? Its leading sentiment is the distinct recognition of the right of private judgment in matters of conscience. The Bible is the only religion of Protestants. Was there ever in the religious world anything equal to this in its lamb-like professions? Such we consider the meaning of the two horns like a lamb. Number 6. The power exercised by this beast. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, or in his side, as Whiting translates, and causeth the earth, and them which dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Here is conclusive evidence that the two-horned beast is distinct from the first beast. It is contemporary with the ten-horned beast from the time that its deadly wound was healed. This exercise of power is certainly future, and is the scene of trouble and danger before us, of which we are warned by the third angel. Number 7. The wonders and miracles performed by this beast. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Here we will quote from the article before mentioned. That we are living in an age of wonders is a well-known fact. Indeed, the language is oftentimes repeated. There is nothing too wonderful to happen. The increase of knowledge in every department of the arts and sciences has indeed been without precedent in the world's past history. We see the chariots with the speed of lightning coursing their way through the land, and with similar speed are men enabled to traverse the mighty deep. Nahum 2. The fire of God, the lightning, Job 1:16, Exodus 9:16. Is literally brought down from heaven. Such is the wonderful power man has obtained over the elements, and the lightning thus brought down from heaven is sent as a messenger from one end of the land to the other. They send the lightnings, and they go and say, "Here we are." Job 38:35. And all these wonders bid fair to be eclipsed by others still more astonishing. But it is another class of wonders which we regard as the complete fulfillment of this prophecy. The world may indeed be deceived by these things, and caused to believe that better days are coming, and that the earth is being prepared for the residence of man, and that men are becoming more virtuous and enlightened. But there are other wonders in course of development, which are indeed miracles by which the world is deceived. It may not be necessary to notice the wonders of psychology, biology, etc., in which all the wonders of past ages seem to be revived. But we notice those astonishing developments from the land of spirits, which are causing the world to wonder. It would seem that communications with the spirits of the departed dead are now freely held, and men are brought into immediate connection with the spirit world. Such communications, though rare in past ages, have become of everyday occurrence. We are told of pious people who are now holding converse with the spirits of the evangelists Mark and Luke, etc. The spirits commune with the greatest freedom, not with the pious alone, but with all classes do they hold free communication. And Protestants are the chief actors in all this. It is evident that these things are but the beginning of the miracles with which the world is to be deceived. That all this is the work of the devil is evident from the fact that God has forbidden necromancy in His Word. Deuteronomy 18:11, Isaiah 8:19. Hence it is certain that the spirits of good men do not come to commune with those who break the divine command. And we may go further than this and say that even the spirits of bad men are not there. For if they are conscious, the 16th chapter of Luke shows that they are not permitted to return to earth. And if indeed the dead know not anything, then it is certain that their spirits are not sent into the world to instruct men. No form of government ever arose in any past age in which these remarkable elements of deception were combined. As Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, with their enchantments, when God was about to deliver his people from Egyptian servitude, so in the perilous times of the last days was the truth of God to be resisted. Then God wrought miracles by the hand of Moses and Aaron, and sent plagues upon Egypt, to show that his people should go free. Yet the devil had so completely deceived Pharaoh and his host, through the enchantments of the magicians, that they even dared to enter the channel that the Almighty had opened through the Red Sea for the escape of his chosen people. The wonders of the present day, especially those that seem to imitate the work of God, are perfectly calculated to deceive those that know not God. And unless the people of God are warned against the deceptive power of Satan in these things, they will be in danger of being blinded by them. Already has this power stolen over the multitude who have a form of godliness, so that if the power thereof should be manifested, as was witnessed in this land a few years since, in powerful revivals, 10,000 voices would at once join the cry of mesmerism, fanaticism, etc. May God save His people amid the perils of the last days. And while those who deny the power of godliness are led on by the spirits of devils working miracles to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, may His people watch and keep their garments.